Thank you, Zoe. Well, good morning. Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but I really love the Christmas season. And can I just add my thanks to, I sat the other day to try and total the number of people who were involved in volunteering and all the different events that we put on over Christmas. And we'll run again at the end the montage that we had with photos and things that you saw Woody dancing, trying to be distraction while Zoe was trying to talk. But that's Woody for you if you've not met him. But I think there was over 50, maybe over 60 people within Ashwood who are volunteering in all kinds of doing all kinds of different things, putting their gifts and talents. Serving and preparing stuff beforehand. So many hours went into doing that. And it's difficult to single out people, but I would just very quickly thank Louise, because Louise was involved in an incredible number of those, so much work behind the scenes. So if you came to anything that Louise was involved in, really good, amazing. And those of you who are married know that often you get involved as well. So Carl shared some of that, which was fantastic. There you go, Carl. Appreciation for that as well. And so incredible amount of work. And a lot of the time, to be honest, though, it is a lot of fun as well, isn't it? If you were serving on one of those teams, we sung in some places, we ate some stuff, we went for walks. We had the wonderful Christingle. Wasn't it great seeing people stood all around this room here and holding something so symbolic and significant in our hands? It's just a wonderful, wonderful season. So my thank you to everyone who's involved. If you're here this morning as one of our guests, you're really welcome. If you came to one of those events, then we're really hoping that you would come back. And so if you did, then that's absolutely fantastic. I'm excited about what God wants to do with us as church in 2019. And next Sunday morning, we want to outline some of that. Some of the things that we believe God has spoken to us in 2018 that we want to do together in 2019. So if you're here next week, want to unpack some of that then. But this morning, what I want to talk about, I'm really excited to think about these three words: what really matters. Let's say that together. I'm into that this year. What really matters. And of course, what really matters, I mean, I guess if you're like me, you're already thinking, well, what really matters? Is that a question, Matt, or is it a statement? Because what really matters, I could be asking you this morning, I could give you the microphone and we could go around and we could say, well, here's a question for everybody this morning, 2019, what really matters? Or it could be a statement, because I could be here this morning, I'm standing in front of you and saying, what really matters? And I'm about to tell you all the answers of what really matters. Well, the answer is, well, kind of both. I don't have all the answers. Those of you who know me will know that's the case already. And it would take a while for us to pass the microphone around and ask for everyone's perspective. But what I would like us to do is to think together about this question, what really matters? And of course, what really matters depends on a number of things. Part of it is scale, isn't it? So there's a scale issue with what really matters. In your house, maybe there are some times when there are things that happen within households that maybe they seem like they're trivial, but they can appear to really matter. Do you know what I mean? I mean, for example, what about this one? Does anyone ever do this? You go to watch you're ready to watch one of your favourite movies. You've got a DVD. This is an old style. It's not a VHS. I'm just talking to some of the young people. This is a DVD. How many people know that when you go to open your favourite film, you're ready to watch it, and it's not there? Anyone else had that experience? Now, it seems like a trivial thing, but does it really matter? Maybe. And another thing, toothpaste. Now, with toothpaste, there are options, aren't there? You can squeeze toothpaste in the middle, or you can squeeze toothpaste, the more efficient, productive, sensible, I'm not going to tell you which I prefer, but the more sensible option is to squeeze from the bottom of the toothpaste, isn't it? Because otherwise, it's a mess, isn't it? If you squeeze it in the middle, it's a mess, isn't it? These are all hypothetical things. I'm just hypothetically. But does it really matter? where we squeeze the toothpaste. There are a few things. I mean, for example, I've got a few of these I was thinking about. This is therapeutic for me. What about bedrooms? So if you're responsible for a bedroom, and you know, is it right that there are cups and plates and clothes on the floor and things that need, is it tidying your bed? This is just hypothetical. Is it important to tidy our bedrooms? Maybe. But does it really matter? Okay. It's all relative. And I've got two more. Dishwashers. So we didn't have a dishwasher for very long in our house, but for a number of years recently, we have had one. I understand that my father-in-law thinks that it was a good thing that I actually finally bought my wife a dishwasher. And I made no comment on that because I thought it was going to get me into tricky waters. But with a dishwasher, there's different ways to load the dishwasher. There's different ways to load a dishwasher. And if we've come across the most efficient and effective and optimum way of loading the dishwasher, does it really matter if we put things in just randomly? does that really matter? Again, hypothetical. I'm not here to give you the answers. Just a thought. And then the final one, the toilet seat. So, I mean, it could be up, it could be down. Does it really matter? Okay, so already we've established this morning there are some things which really matter. So that's in terms of scale. Other things, there's also a context aspect to what really matters, isn't it? So a bit more serious, but you know, for different parts of our, different stages of our life, different seasons of our life, there are some things that matters. So, for example, if we are, for young people who have exams coming up, tests, you know, of course we aren't defined by exams. We're not, our identity is not tied up in our exams. But do exams matter? Yes, they definitely do. So it's important to work towards those, isn't it? And to do our best to honour God and our parents. Just hypothetical. But I know that probably applies to some of us in the room. What about situations, what really matters when babies are born? One of the things another celebration point this morning is Sam was up here. One of the reasons he's back here was because he became an uncle. And at exactly the same moment, literally exactly the same moment as Sam became an uncle, Martin and Mandy became grandparents. It's amazing. And at exactly the same moment, Dominic and Roanne became an aunt and an uncle as well. And why don't they all just stand up? Because not everyone knows who you are, so they just want to give you a round of applause for becoming uncles, aunts, and... And it's one of those things, isn't it, when babies are born... Rachel, are you taking hints from this as well? Because that's going to... Yes, she's taken note as well. Rachel is pregnant and her due date was... yesterday. Okay, so in terms of, Owen, listen carefully, because in terms of what really matters, just dishwasher, toilet seat, toothpaste. Yes, that is what really matters. But when babies are born, it's one of those moments in our lives, isn't it, where it, often there's the we are looking forward, we're anticipating, we're also aware that there can be challenges, there can be complications, and when babies are born, one of the things that often people say, isn't it, is well, the thing that really matters is that mum and baby are safe and well. Isn't that one of the things that people often say? And that's the case with this baby. We're really pleased that Amy and Arabella are safe and well, and let's not forget Jono as well, because it's always very harrowing for the dads, isn't it? It can be. Anyway, And other contexts where we talk about how what really matters is one of our friends. Some of you will know Pam and Gary. Gary's had a knee replacement, so he's just getting back into movement again. But when Pam was going to pick him up, someone drove into her, and the car was in a bit of a mess. She couldn't get out the driver's side, and et cetera, et cetera. We went round to see them, and I found myself saying in that moment, well, what really matters is that you're safe and well, isn't it, Pam? The car's in a mess, but what really matters is that Pam was safe and she was okay. So there's different contexts to what really matters, and there's the trivial and there's different stages of our lives. But of course, as we start a new year and we look back over 2018, we reflect a little bit, and I think it's a natural thing for us to do. I don't know if you do this as well, but around the Christmas season, when some things take a bit of a pause, some things take a bit of a breather, we get the opportunity to refocus and say, well, what does really matter in our lives? And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we actually get some help with the answer to that question for us, because, of course, we have an example in Jesus himself as to what really matters. And I just want to talk for a few moments this morning, and I'd love us to, of course, think for ourselves, but also think for us as church as well about the things that really matter. So what are the things that really matter to Jesus? Well, I don't know about you, but there's times when I'm reading my Bible, I just think, well, I'd love to be able to just jump in the Back to the Future. What was that car called? DeLorean, thank you. I always get DeLorean and Dolores mixed up. That's a different film, isn't it? But I'd love to jump in the DeLorean, go back in time, and just wander around with Jesus and the disciples. And this would be, I think this would be one of the questions that I would love to ask, you know, walking around the streets of Jerusalem and around the Galilee area, and just to be able to follow Jesus and say, well, Jesus, what are the things that really matter? But of course, we've got the answers to some of those things because they're recorded for us. And there's three passages that I just want to look at really quickly this morning. The first one is in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's effectively a bunch of people, actually, they're trying to trap Jesus. They're trying to trick him, but it doesn't work. But Jesus responds and he explains, I think he's answering the question, this question for us, 2019, what really matters. So verse 34, chapter 22 says this, but when the Pharisees heard that he'd silenced the Sadducees with his reply, this is referring to what's just happened, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, this is his answer. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says the reason, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So, of course, the context here is, Jesus and many of the people around would have known all the laws. There's the Ten Commandments, of course, that God gave to Moses. But there was a lot more rules and regulations and laws and things that God's people had been told to do in order to live well, the instructions on how to live well. So the religious people of the day were coming to Jesus, and they are trying to trick him and trap him and see if he could give some kind of controversial answer which is going to get him into hot water. Of course, Jesus can make enough hot water for himself. He doesn't need any help. But Jesus answers this and responds, and it's really helpful for us in terms of what really matters, isn't it? What does he say? He says, well, it's simple. Love God, basically, with everything that you are. Everything that you are, everything that you can be, everything, love God. And then he says, and that's the most important, but the second one, which is also really important, is love your neighbour. So summary of that looks pretty simple, doesn't it? And there's times I like things simple, I don't know about you, but actually for me, start of 2019, the same as 2018, the same as 2017, what are the things that really matter in our lives? When you boil everything else down, what are the things that really matter? Love God and love people. And sometimes we overcomplicate things, don't we? And sometimes there are other things that certainly they do matter, but if they flow out, if everything that we do flows out of these two things, loving God and loving people, then I think we are in a good place. So if we move on to another part of the Jesus account, we find someone else who's quizzing Jesus. And it's in Matthew 19. It's a rich man who comes to Jesus with this question. He says, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Okay, well, pretty good question. I think you'd agree. If I was there, if you were there, is this one of your top questions, maybe? It's a biggie, isn't it? Eternal life, quite a big topic for discussion. Or in other words, what really matters, Jesus? And Jesus says, well, he starts off, he says, "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good." But just like Jesus does, just finds an opportunity to make a point. But then he says, "But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." Okay, says the man, "Which ones?" Jesus replies, "Well, you must not murder, not commit adultery, not steal, testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man says, "Okay, well, it's good news. I've achieved all of those. I've done all of that. What else must I do?" And Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions, give your money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And Matthew tells us, "But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions." So, interesting bit of dialogue. And of course, let's be careful. What Jesus is not saying here is that everyone has to give away everything that they have. But of course, Jesus knows what really matters for this man who's coming to ask him these questions. And like Jesus does with all of us, he knows what's the background. He knows the context. He understands why this man is asking this question. And that's important, isn't it, when we are talking to people, to understand the background to why people ask certain questions. And it turns out that this guy, although he had his heart was in a pretty good place, he wanted to follow the commandments, he wanted to follow the laws, he wanted to follow the rules, but actually there was always something that was in between him and God. And for him, it was stuff, it was possessions. And you can imagine the scene that as he goes away, it says there in the passage, he went away sad because he realized that actually there was something that was in his life that was in between him and God. And it says something about priorities, doesn't it? And it really, it's connected with, well, what is the answer? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So significant. Third example, still in Matthew. And I'm not going to read it all this morning, but if you have time and you want to do a bit of a study on what really matters, then head to Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, sometimes called the greatest sermon, because it is. And in this, if you've read it before, you're familiar with it, you'll know that actually Jesus answers the question in all kinds of different ways, not just about the little things, but some of the big things about what really matters. He talks about giving, he talks about relationships, he talks about loving enemies, and he talks about anxiety, and he talks about possessions. He talks about the stuff which, although some things have changed 2,000 years later, how many people can see that actually what he's talking about is totally relevant for our society, in our culture, in our lives today? And in chapter 6, verse 13, he says this, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. This is what you should do. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy. Thieves do not break in and steal. Because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And this is not the subject of my message this morning, but notice the connection between the things that are important to us and storing treasures in heaven. Because there's a direct connection and correlation here. And he goes on to say, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" And then he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Pause for a moment. Last year, Steve Campbell came and he preached on this, and he reminded us that actually this is Jesus speaking about God, what really matters. How much more valuable are we than even the birds that God looks after? So although this morning I'm pointing us towards the things that really matter, capital letters, exclamation mark, of course, the truth is, and Jesus makes it really clear here, that God is concerned, he's interested in every intimate detail of our lives. There's nothing that he is not interested in, not concerned about, not aware of. So as we think about the big stuff, don't forget that actually the little details God is also interested in as well. And that's pretty good news this morning. And then he says in verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then he says this, and I think this is a great answer to the question, what really matters? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What really matters? What you eat? Well, some of us thinking about lunch, it does matter, but it's not the most important thing. What you drink? Water. Nope. What you wear? No. Jesus isn't saying that these things don't matter. He's not saying that at all. But actually, what he's saying is, let's prioritize some stuff. Effectively, if you're answering the question what really matters, you're also answering the question what really doesn't matter, aren't you? By implication, that's what you end up having to do. And Jesus says two things. Seek first God's kingdom, and number two, live righteously. So what does that mean? Seek first the kingdom. Well, it's talking about priorities, isn't it? And if we're thinking about seeking first the kingdom in 2019, what does that practically look like for us? Well, what do people who are seeking God's kingdom? Well, first of all, what's God's kingdom? God's kingdom, it's the domain of the king. It's the place where Jesus rules and reigns. And of course, from a theological, a thinking point of view, at that place at the moment is in heaven where Jesus is, where he rules and he reigns, and only the things of his kingdom operate in that place. But of course, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's in that passage as well. It's in his What Really Matters passage that I just mentioned, the greatest sermon. And so what is he saying? Effectively, he's saying, well, the things of the kingdom, the things of God's kingdom, we want to see them here, represented here on earth, because then we'll see more of Jesus's rule and his reign. And when he rules and when he reigns, then there's some things that have to go and some things that have to stay. What exists in God's kingdom? Well, there is some things that don't exist, aren't there? There is no more sickness. There's no more pain. There's no more depression. There's no anxiety. There's no fear. In the king's domain, those things don't exist. So if we seek those things, then basically what are we doing as followers of Jesus to say, I'm going to seek this first, seek the kingdom first? What does that look like in our lives? There's some practical things that happen, aren't there? But there's also some spiritual things. What does it mean when we seek first the kingdom? Well, we pray, we worship, we get as close as we can to Jesus so that we know what his domain, the king's domain, looks like, so that we can welcome it in, so that we can usher in his kingdom to see lives changed and transformed. First of all, ours, and then those around us. And secondly, live righteously. Now, part of this is to do with living well, but of course, being righteous actually has implications. Actually, being righteous is to do with living well, part one. But part two, actually, we can only be righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. So actually, for us to be righteous is not to do with our performance in the end, because it's actually all to do with Jesus' performance. His death on the cross means that we were made right with God. And that's what righteous basically means. We are made right with God through his performance, not our performance. So, of course, living well is important, and it's a good thing for us to aspire to. But actually, the living righteous is all down to what he's done, not down to what we've done, which is incredibly good news. But if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and aim to live righteously, how does that? What does that affect? Well, I always think of it in three different things, three T's: time, treasure, and talents. So, if we look at how practically, because there are some spiritual things which are vitally important and put them first, but then there's some practical things, aren't there, in terms of what we do with our time, our treasure, and our talents. And I always think that actually, if I'm looking at myself and I'm saying, well, I want to be a person who loves God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my might, and I want to seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, well, practically, that has to have an effect. So if I tell you that something's important to me, then how do I demonstrate that? Well, I think you can tell what's important to people. Look at two things: their diary and their bank balance. Because actually, if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, then it's going to impact not just those two things, but they're two of the most precious things that we have, aren't they? Our time, our treasure, and also the gifts and the things that God has given us. So there's going to be a practical outworking, and sometimes at the start of a new year is a great opportunity. I guess some of you have already done it, is to say, well, what are the things that I need to prioritize that are important for me? And I'd suggest that actually a great place for all of us to start is, well, making sure that we are seeking first God's kingdom, because that's going to affect the choices that we make. And of course, we're not doing that because we want to tick a box. We're not doing that because we feel like we have to. It's not an obligation upon us. The reason we do it is because we've got a place at the table. Because God has revealed himself to us. He's called us chosen. He's called us loved by the King. And I don't know about you, but that causes a response which doesn't mean I feel obliged to do something, but it means that I want to do something. And what has an implication for us as individuals. Also, of course, it has an implication for us as church, because my prayer is, I don't know about you, that actually the things that are my priorities, what really matters, it's really important that as church we have a focus on those things too. So some things have changed in 2019, but some things haven't. So our mission as church is, we've said, is to help people find and follow Jesus. So that should be outworked in our time and our treasure and our talents. And hopefully it is. And that's why we give time to things like the Alpha Course, because it's not just a clever phrase, helping people find and follow Jesus. It's genuinely, it's our heart's desire. It's the most important thing. It's our priority that we want to help people find and follow Jesus. So Alpha is just one way. And of course, there's other things that we do that will help us be able to do that. We said the other thing that's really important to us is who we're becoming. So activities are important, stuff that we do is important, but actually, who are we? Who does God say we are, and what do we want to become? Well, we said we want to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. And I believe that that is still true. And what are the things that we build? We build those our mission and our vision on. Well, they're things that we value. We value lots of things. We say that we prioritize a number of things. Five of them, we want to be people who welcome. We'll do everything we can to make people feel welcome. We believe it was a priority of Jesus. It's a priority of us. We believe growing is important for us as followers of Jesus, that we don't remain the same as we were, but we're actually moving forward in our relationship with Jesus, that we are relational people, that we care, we support for one another. Jesus-centered, worship, prayer, reading the word, important to us, and mission-focused. Everything we do, we're saying we can't keep it to ourselves. There's got to be an outward expression of that. And so, if you're new, you won't have heard some of that, which is why I put it in. But for the rest of us who have been a part of Ashwood for some time, then hopefully at the start of 2019, this is a reminder of, yeah, this is why we do the things that we do. This is the purpose. This is why we are becoming the people that God's called us to be, and we do the things that we believe really matter to God. And so the question this morning is an individual one for you and for me, what really matters. Also one for us as church in 2019. I mentioned before that next week we'll outline some of the things that we believe God has said for us in 2019 that we're excited about, we're looking forward to. But I wonder this morning whether there are things that as you step into 2019, you're leaving some stuff behind, but also there's actually not just a self-help idea where you've seen a few things and you say, well, actually 2019, I want to get a bit fitter, I need to be a bit more active in certain, I need to drop some certain things and I need to do more of some other things. That's great, but actually what is God saying about what your priorities, what my priorities should be in 2019? And as I was preparing and planning this, I was reminded of a prophetic sense that we had back in September. You remember that we felt that actually that God was saying to us, he just wanted to spend time with his people, and there was this prophetic picture, if you like, an image of how God was expressing something. Actually, that he actually wanted to spend time with us as church, but as individuals as well. And I was thinking, it reminded me of a song that used to be some words of an old song that used to be, I remember as I was growing up. And actually, I felt I wanted to make this my prayer, and maybe you want to make this your prayer this morning. Because I love the words of this. That were connect. That it felt like there were echoes of what God was saying to us about coming and dancing with Him. That sense of enjoyment, that sense of pleasure. Because you know everything that God does flows out of His love for us. So the moment we start slipping into thinking that it's all about rules and obligations, we really have got to rewind and come back to the point that everything God does is out of His love for us. And the words of this song. I just felt like I wanted to make this my prayer at the start of 2019. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart, what really matters. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Trust in the word of your promise. Hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Let's pray, shall we? Just going to be quiet for a moment. Just allow you to have a conversation with Jesus this morning about the answer to this for yourself this morning. Maybe you've already thought about it. Maybe this morning is the first time you've begun to think. But let's take a moment to respond to, and then we'll respond corporately as well.
There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Why don't we stand together? Just use these words, worship, and then we'll pray. Put our trust in you, God. It's the best thing we could ever do. Align ourselves with your plans and purposes again, afresh, 2019. Hold on to your promises, lean into you. Put our trust in you again, afresh. Seek first your kingdom. Speak out your own personal prayer and then we'll pray together. Let's just keep our eyes closed for a moment. It's an opportunity for us to lean into what God is speaking to us personally. Holy Spirit, just believe that you're shining your light into our lives this morning, that you'll help us to refocus where we need to. You'll help us to set us on a path. Really believe this morning that for some of us, God is setting us on a really clearly defined path in 2019. Believe this morning, there is for many of us, there's a sense of re-envisioning, a sense of refocus. Of course, Holy Spirit doesn't leave us on our own. Jesus said he would be with us every step of the way. So if you're feeling inadequate, if you're feeling overwhelmed, then this morning, the other thing we do is we receive strength, revive energy, new sense of vision and purpose. So Holy Spirit, we just receive all that you have for us. Pray that you would speak to our minds and our spirits as we respond to you. We want to build our lives on you. We want to make choices which honor you, which put you first, which declare our intention to seek first your kingdom in 2019. And we do it because we know it's the best way for us to live. But we also do it because we recognize there is a bigger picture. There is a kingdom. There's people who don't yet know you. And Lord, our heart is, our desire is that we would play our part in helping them to find you and to follow you. So we'd be the people that you've called us to be.
For some, when we were reflecting on loving the Lord our God with all our hearts and loving others like ourselves, for some folk here this morning, you've thought, yeah, well, I've tried to love other people and I've actually been rejected and I've had it thrown back at me. And that's actually hampered where you're at now. And you're coming to a realization, or maybe you need to come to a realization, that actually your approval needs to come from God and from God alone. we are all people that do at points let each other down, often unintentionally, and that kind of thing happens. But that's hampered you from your relationship with God. And God is just challenging you, reminding you, and just very gently saying, yeah, that's what you need to do this morning, as you're realigning priorities and assessing what really matters, is you need to know that your approval comes from me and me alone, and I love you, but you just need to take a moment to realign that.
It's good. We got a prayer team as well ready to pray with you this morning. If you're here and maybe there's something that you're saying, well, I just love someone to pray with me. The thing that matters to me at the moment, I just love someone to stand and pray and believe with us. Then let's do that for one another. Let's surround one another with care and love. So as we close, I wonder if we could just use the words of this old song. And if this morning this is part of your prayer, then I'd love to invite you to just read this with me as we close our meeting this morning. So let's read this together, those who'd like to. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart, God. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Amen. And God, our prayer is that you'd help us in 2019 to do everything that you set before us. The power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.